has shifted in the last, 20 years since we've gotten 24-hour news networks and things like that. I don't know if that necessarily answers your question, but that's sort of the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I just wanted you to comment on it. I didn't think there was a specific answer.
I don't know.
Michael Moore any
better? Do you have any other questions about the film?
Was Michael Moore any better, than the clips that were edited out, or was, he just seemed like kind of an opportunist himself that he got a good pile of cash for it.
Got
people revved up and then got out, and other people got in trouble for him, and he didn't seem to do that much. How was the whole speech?
The whole speech was very much the same. I mean, the things we cut out of the speech was actually more just stumping for Kerry. and it's things that don't seem as timely now. Now that you watch the film after the election and Kerry lost, it's mainly stumping for Kerry and the stuff he did with the college students, like trying to get, encouraging them to vote by giving them ramen and things like that. And it really was anticlimactic when he came, because everybody, spelled out the apocalypse that he was coming, and it was that. It was just like, hey, guys, I'm here. How's it going? Vote for Kerry. See you later. I got another engagement tonight. It was very much that. It was very much anticlimactic, and it was frustrating to a lot of people that were so adamant about him coming, and it was just kind of like, wow, he came and said everything that, he said in his books and his movies, and, we paid money for that, but, the school didn't actually lose money on Michael Moore coming per se. They lost money on the image of him coming, that the school had become too liberal, and Michael Moore, like, when he left, he didn't know that there was any other backlash afterwards. He didn't know that there was any backlash or resignation or loss of money to the school until he saw our film. So it's like, I don't think he had any bad intentions, and I don't think Sean Hannity necessarily had any bad intentions, which is what's so frustrating about it, is that, everyone is genuine with what they're saying. Everyone truly believes what they have to say, but they don't stop to think about what they're saying.
Full implications, right? Yeah, this is one of the sad parts about it, but as you were also talking about this, it raises the specter that if people are fully invested in the corporate economy and all of those eggs get smashed by one bonehead move, then these people can't back out of what they've done. They essentially have allowed the centralization of our economy to go to these Halliburtons and the super corporate structures, the Walmarts and the whatnot and the Chevrons, and that they now don't have a disparate economy. They've put all of our eggs in one basket, and now they cannot allow any new competition because it creates the fragility. They've backed us into this enormous problem.
Well, and no one wants to sit back and admit that they're wrong. No one wants to sit back and say, hey, we did it wrong. Let's go back and figure out what we did wrong and let's fix it. Like I was talking about earlier, the Declaration of Independence is a very revolutionary document, and it says in the Declaration that it's the duty of the citizens to say, we've done something wrong, the system isn't working, the government's not working, let's go back and fix it, and that we have the right to change those things. But because everyone has put those eggs in that basket, we're so invested in the stock market and in big corporations, no one wants to do that because they'd have to start over. And I kind of feel like we need to just get past that and realize that money isn't everything, it's the welfare of everyone. And it seemed like we were turning that direction, with Franklin Roosevelt, the New Deal, and that direction. And, that's just been systematically gutted, in the past, 25, 30 years. And no one wants to turn back around.
Sure, sure. Well, it's an endless series of eternal vigilance. That's where we're at. So, again, we're talking to Brian Young. He's one of the he helped put together this film, This Divided State, here playing here in San Francisco at the Victoria Theater until late this month. Do you have it coming to other cities around the nation? Have you?
This Friday, we're opening in Seattle and New York, and we're in a film festival in Kentucky. And after that, we're going to be in L.A., Portland. We're going to play on some screens in Idaho, some other screens in Salt Lake City, Colorado, Orlando, Florida. We're playing all over the place. Actually, all that information is on the website, which is actually thisdividedstate.com. And we're constantly adding theaters. People are so, you know, like the independent communities, like the indie medias, the places that are truly independent and not for profit and you know, employee owned, those sorts of places have really responded well to the film, and they want it in their places. So we're constantly adding places that want to see it and want it at their theaters, and they want to exhibition it.
That's what you got to do. You got to keep persisting. As you had mentioned some while back, this whole idea of the centralization of thought, the only way you can get out of that is to create new media. So here in San Francisco, and I think when I moved here, we had as many as 60 different little newspapers, neighborhood papers, handouts, flyers, legal publications, whatnot. And the old boy network 5 or 10 years ago decided they would clean up the streets and allow fewer paper boxes. So they decided in the name of cleanliness of the city streets that they would limit the number of paper boxes. And so they aren't limiting the presses. They're not taxing the newspapers, but they're limiting their ability to distribute. So obviously we've got to be...
And our film, releasing our film, has been 100% grassroots. Although we do have a distributor for the DVD, it's the same company that put out the Outfoxed documentary. We've been putting this in theaters all by ourselves. It's literally been me, like myself, the other assistant director, his wife, and the director. Like, it's all just the four of us.
Well, you're doing something right. You say you just won the, was it Santa Cruz's film festival?
Won the Santa Cruz Film Festival, and things look good that we'll win the festival we're in Kentucky. But we haven't actually submitted ourselves to these festivals. They've actually been inviting us. So it's not like been a conscious effort that we've been making to get into festivals. We really just want people to see the film.
Sure. Hey, by the way, one last thing. As there was, you were discussing Michael Moore there a little bit ago and whether or not he was toned down. I can remember when he joined on with the Kerry campaign, he was asked to tone it down. And that was probably the reason why, I mean, of course, it's probably clear, again, that the election was stolen in Ohio and ergo stolen nationwide. But Kerry's inability to speak forthrightly and then the people that joined with him, like Michael Moore, to tone it down on behalf of Kerry, that's what... Yeah, it's almost like intentional loss. So it's a real, it damages Michael's reputation as well as the nation itself when a pretender to the throne gets is able to induce other people to not speak forthrightly in the truth. Having lived out there, you know, in Western Colorado and doing a lot of traveling time in Utah, there are a lot of ways of getting across to those people, and they are not boneheads and not morons. Some of them are very well educated, but they do toe the line.
They do absolutely, and it's like I find it admirable that anybody, be they left, right, center, if they truly believe with heart their belief, like whether I agree with their belief or not, I find it admirable that they can hold to it that truly. And that's how people are around here, very much so, is that even though they're good people, they're nice, they're wonderful people, and I think I'm sure George Bush is a nice guy if you sat down and shook his hand and talked to him, but he is towing that line, that party line, that ruling class, like, line that you know, that we don't like, but... I don't know, they just have this genuineness to them. Everyone does. You know, if you talk to somebody, anybody, about anything for 5 minutes, you know what they're passionate about.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's kind of an unfortunate thing when you have a Rupert Murdoch and a Reverend Moon, and the foreign ownership of the press. Washington Times is owned by Reverend Moon and Rupert Murdoch. This Australian owns, so many of the different, newspapers and publications and radio stations and Clear Channel. So you've got places like, all over this nation, that are entirely swamped by these corporate chains. And, it used to be, I think we calculated, Clear Channel owns over 1,200 radio stations. They've actually bought many of the oldest radio stations, talk radio stations in the country. And then they manage at least another 700. So that's near 2,000 stations that they own or manage. And we calculated that they could have possibly fired as many as 100,000 people, simply replacing them with robotic radio that then force feeds Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, O'Reilly, name all of the rest of the creeps. And so you can have 10 or fewer voices that are essentially heard on 1,200 stations nationwide. And so
we need to be the media. We need more radio stations like yours, and we need more filmmakers out there that are telling stories like we are, and we need more people writing books about that.
Well, that's right, and that's why we have to create our own press. You know, Ben Franklin and them, they had their presses smashed at times. You know, they had to, some of those people had to flee with their lives and get out a couple of blocks of wood in order to start printing again. But, you know, there were a lot of blacksmiths that learned how to do forging of printing presses in order to get words out 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago or whatnot. And in this case, we've got the Internet, and we're fortunate enough to have micropower radio and any number of other different sources of communication. But, you know, we've got to constantly be on the lookout for those old-time presses that are buried in somebody's barn, because if the electricity goes out, the one that keeps the press is going to be able to get the word out again.
Very much so.
Yeah, films and VCRs and videos and computers and electronics are all dependent upon the electricity of Enron. So, you know, we've got to look at the old ways as well as the new.
No, very much so. Very much so.
Hey, well, it's been great talking with you, Brian. Here, let's keep you on the line here. Rubble has a good song. Did you want to ask anything else, Rubble? Or yeah, he's good.
No, just to say it was an excellent film.
Oh, thank you very much. We've worked our little hard. We've all been we typify the stereotype of poor, starving artists to get this film made and out. And we've sacrificed so much to try to show it to people. So it's really good to hear that people are enjoying it, that it's teaching them something.
Yeah, well, that's,
we're sparking debates with this.
Yeah, it looks like a winner. So again, we've been talking with Brian Young, and the film again is This Divided Nation, or excuse me, This Divided State. And, you can of course find that at thisdividedstate.com and check it out. Check that out and you'll, see it. Sounds like probably a lot of local theaters, not the big chains are running it. You'll see it at college campuses and the alternative film circuits. Hey, well, thanks again for your time there, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, and so, Rubble, you've given us, what did you give us? You said track three. What's what?
Track three.
Here we're going on track three. Slater Keeney.
All right. That was the Pattern, an Oakland garage punk band that may not be around anymore. Early 21st century. Good band. Sun Things Speak. An old 80s band that inspired that kind of music. The Nomads. I think they were Swedish. I'm out of it. And Slater Kitty, All Hands on the Bad One. That was a newer one. We've got some radio news. Reportedly, Berkeley Liberation Radio is back on the air in a new and temporary location. Berkeley Liberation Radio was forced off the air, I think it was July, in a two-pronged attack where they got evicted by the landlord and then forced out by the FCC on a notice of illegal broadcasting. There, it may have been actual interference into other radio stations. I don't have much details on this, but Berkeley Liberation Radio is broadcasting on the same frequency in the East Bay, 104.1 FM, in the same broadcast location, North Oakland and Berkeley. Has a 2-month agreement to broadcast from somewhere and will continue to look for a permanent location and one that can get the station up to where it wants to be from a technical point of view, having an internet and broadcasting from the internet. So people in the East Bay, listen up. Other people want to follow along. Eventually they're going to have a website up, so just put Berkeley Liberation Radio in your browser right now. It'll say website in progress if you get up there. Also on that side of the bay, higher profile station, KPFA workers file complaints about working conditions. Modern day bureaucracy is catching up to the way that Pacifica management and workers have conducted themselves all these years, especially these managements they put in there. Women workers file complaints about working condition in Roy Campanella too. 8 women workers at KPFA announced today that they are filing complaints with the Department of Fair Employment and Housing against the station's general manager, Roy Campanella, too. They have also stated that there have been a persistent pattern of discrimination based on gender and that the station is now a hostile workplace for women. Those who turned down his sexual advances have been retaliated against through public belittlement, threats to cut funding, criticism of their work to their supervisors, slander, and threats of termination. So they're zeroing in that the manager himself, if this has got it framed right, has been doing the sexual harassment along with retaliation. My experience says that the more corrupt managers retaliate more to protect themselves. Sexual harassment is, of course, illegal under state and federal law. 80 KPFA workers have signed a statement that they have no confidence in Campanella's ability to manage the station. Meanwhile, several members of the local station board have committed themselves to an agonizingly long due process. Additionally, the employees' union is filing with the National Labor Relations Board on behalf of 7 male and female staff members for Campanella's violation of labor law in the contract between KPFA Management and Communications Workers of America Local 94115. 14 weeks ago, on May 5th, Campanella threatened Waylon Southern, executive producer of Hard Knock Radio, with violence and followed him out to the sidewalk to fight. The union demanded at the time that KPFA and its parent organization, Pacifica, provide the staff at the station with a safe work environment. According to the report, Campanella had put out the obligatory legal announcement that they needed a safe workplace that morning and then went after Southern himself in the afternoon. Despite all of this action, both Pacifica and KPFA's local station board have failed to take action and have dragged out deliberations about the general manager's misdeeds over the past 3.5 months. You can read more on IndieBay.org, a whole bunch of open letters here. Maybe get around to them in a little while. Let's get to a couple of songs. Let's get to let mellow out for a few seconds. We'll get, I think, a local performer, Nadell. I think she's from around here. She records on Kill Rock Stars out of Olympia, Washington. So let's hear a fairly recent release from Nadell. That was Nadell with The Natural Light. I've got a little blurb that stands out in Hard Knock Radio's open letter to Roy Campanella. For those not familiar with it, Pacifica's supposed to be a left-leaning pacifist station. It's kind of a progressive station, mostly white broadcasters. A lot of them have been on the air a lot of years. They started talking about being the voice of the voiceless. Hard Knock Radio is a show put on generally aimed at younger people of color that was put on after the fights to get them away from their corporate board that wanted to sell them in 2000. Let's see. Let's get right to the people who stand to lose the most are their next generation of listeners, people of color and youth, poor folks, and immigrants. These audiences, grossly underserved by public radio but not readily courted by commercial radio, are being reached and politicized by Hard Knock Radio because we understand how to speak to their concerns, etc., etc. So, in other words, they're going against the grain of their own staff. And this one hits the point of the differences here and how little ability there is to have any difference, even in more progressive communities. Contrary to almost all of Pacifica KPFA's public affairs programming, Hard Knock Radio is not designed to be an alternative to NPR. Hard Knock Radio is the alternative to commercial radio, and we are rooted in the principles of media justice. Part of our mission is to remedy the failure of progressive radio and the progressive movement to bring the most marginalized communities to the table. Unfortunately, even at community radio stations such as KPFA, Our efforts to press for inclusion and media justice are being thwarted by the new general manager, Campanella 2. Campanella has expressed a desire to take ownership of the name Hard Knock Radio from us. He has revoked promised staff resources. He has helped foster a hostile workplace for women and Hard Knock Radio staff in particular. And he has made attempts to divide Hard Knock Radio staff. There is increasing evidence indicating Campanella has spread harmful lies about Hard Knock Radio staff, apparently in an effort to build a case to take a certain 8 Hard Knock Radio staff off the air. On May 5th, Campanella assaulted Hard Knock Radio executive producer Waylon Southern with a threat of physical violence. Campanella has made it clear through bullying and gossiping that his intention is to crush Hard Knock Radio. So that's a little bit of how serious it gets, and this seems to be modern-day management tactics. I've been finding the same thing in my workplace for a long while. KPFA staff, notably Dennis Bernstein on this side of the bay, Noelle Hanrahan, who's also suing them, and Amy Goodman on the East Coast, were viciously harassed and tried to push out through tactics like that. Only had their listening audiences to save them. So there's radio in the East Bay. For those on this side of the bay, I'm not sure if 87.9 FM Pirate Cat Radio is back on the air or not yet. Pirate Cat Radio is putting up a bigger transmitter, but if it is, and if it isn't, you can listen on the internet to Enemy Combatant Radio's weekly news show on 87.9 FM in San Francisco. I believe it's titled Enemy Combatant Radio from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday evenings. If Pirate Cat's not back on the air, you can get it either on through indiebay.org or enemycombatantradio.net. So listen up tomorrow evening. Okay, let's go back to some of my favorite rock bands from a few years ago I got on this CD. Let's go to former San Franciscan, forced out probably when all those music studios were closed around 2000, but doing well whatever city they're in, Zen Gorilla with Barbed Wire. Okay, we're still not George W. Bush fans here at Emmy Combatant Radio, so let's hear a recent Bush Live.
They all voted in the January election. We're also joined today by Iraqi law students from the United States for an international competition, by members of Iraq's religious communities in town to learn about democracy, and by others who helped organize the Iraq's elections. I want to welcome you all. I want to thank you for your strong belief in democracy and freedom. It's a belief that this is both the Iraqi people who intend to claim their liberty and build a future of freedom for their country. And it was a powerful signal. I appreciate the determination of the Iraqi electoral workers who withstood threats and intimidation to make a transparent election possible. I salute the courageous Iraqi security forces who risked their lives to protect voters.
Locomotive breath. No, the song is called Camden Town Rain. Thank you.
Another nice, polite one there. Mary Lou Lord, I think also fairly new on Kill Rock Stars. Camden Town Radio. And one of my favorite old bands, not around anymore, Bratmobile. What's Wrong With You from a Lookout Records release in Berkeley, 2002. Looks like we got some micro radio news here. We have a project of Free Radio Berkeley publication, A Popular Guide to Building a Community FM Broadcast Station, $6, also available in Spanish comic book format. Have you ever thought about setting up a small FM broadcast station for your community and considered such an endeavor much too involved and expensive? The book demonstrates that it is not, and it will inspire you to make the effort. The book was illustrated and written by T.J. Enrile in conjunction with Free Radio Berkeley, a past micro radio station that pioneered the movement in Berkeley. T.J. is a student of multimedia studies at Diablo Valley College in Pleasant Hill, California. Looks like you can find more about this on www.canofwormspub.com. Canofwormspub.com. And what do we have? Former FCC Chief Michael Powell going to work for Providence Equity Partners, which specializes in venture capitalism involving global media interests. Powell will be a senior advisor and will no doubt assist in the management of Providence's $9 billion portfolio. Powell's predecessor as chairman, William Kennard, a Democrat who opened up this totally corrupt and corrupted micro radio bill that's doing more to hurt legitimate micro radio than it helped, left the agency to become a telecom stock jobber for the Carlyle Group. These guys are in high places. His predecessor, Reed Hunt, Democrat, has a... Let's see. Well, it's getting into a lot of stuff, including Time Warner's here and Hearst. And that is where the micro-radio movement is stuck today from these bureaucrats. FCC still hunting in San Diego, LPFM comment period extended. This was from August 4th. This week, the folks behind 106.9 FM, the on-air relay for Radioactive San Diego, got a letter dropped at their door warning them to shut down or face a $10,000 fine. This is not much of a surprise given the recent raid of compatriots. The station plans to be off the air for a spell, during which time volunteers will build a bigger transmitter. Says the blog, the station will not only resume broadcasting within 2 weeks, but with the help of community sponsors, we'll go back on air 5 times stronger. I know they were interested a few years ago in getting institutional funding. Looks like they did it. On the legal side of things, the FCC has extended the comment reply period on its current LPFM rulemaking for 2 weeks, which probably means it's either done. Well, making the new deadline August 22nd, so there still is some time to make those comments, and September 6th for reply comments. The extension comes at the request of the Station Resource Group, a consortium of pubcasters who will be going to an annual retreat. If I can find a website to write through on, I'll let you know, but trymediaalliance.org, they may be a good one, or I know Prometheus Radio Project will do it for you. They have a write-in campaign, so write into the FCC and tell them that we want them to open up the process for what little it's worth compared to what they're doing now. Keep the pressure on them. We're coming towards the top of the hour here, Rad Radio. Let's switch the tone of the music here a little bit. I've got some modern South of the Border tracks here. Let's get a Cuban tune. Barrio Cubano de Ronald Rubinet.
Pequeña labor. Al caballo vamos, cuerpo.
Couple of songs to go out with. We had Sidestepper, a UK producer, with Una Manigua. My Spanish is terrible. And a French-based, not Managua, Manigua. And a French-based producer Ronald Rubinat with some Cuban rhythms remixed there with El Carretero. This is Rad Radio. DJ Rubble and Degreaser, David Grace, here with you 6 to 8 p.m. on Enemy Combatant Radio's most Sundays. We're going to go out with local Latin rock greats right here from the Mission in San Francisco, Los Mocosos.
Since I-